shotglassdigital.com.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who is just as tired of traveling with Dodo as Steven was, Adam Farmer.
That is so true. That is so true. And finally, relief. Relief. We'll get to that a little bit later, but I think we might be at the end.
At the end of Dodo?
At the end of Dodo.
And sadly, Steven too, but we didn't really find out what happened to him.
Yeah, he just kind of disappeared on us, didn't he?
But we're not alone tonight. We actually have, I will call them guests and not companions, because they might get offended if I call them companions. But we have two people with us. This is a first for us, Adam. We've done guests before, but we've never had two people on at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know if we can take it.
The TARDIS is getting packed here. With us for the first time ever, although we've talked to her about Doctor Who before on a different podcast, is Kay from the podcast Hyperspace Theories. Welcome, Kay.
Hello.
And it's awesome to have you on. Like we were talking about pre-show, you're pretty much the only person on Twitter that actually tweets at us. So,
as a podcast host, I know how it feels to put stuff out and then be like, is anybody listening to this?
So it's pity tweets.
Well, no, I also want to talk about Doctor Who, so.
Well, we very much appreciate it. And so we've been wanting to actually have you on for a while. So we're having you on this episode. It was kind of like a last-minute thing, so I know you didn't have the time to prep.
I'm going to improvise.
You didn't watch the classic episodes, but that's okay. We will definitely have you on again and give you a little bit more warning.
You let me talk about something I know.
Yeah. So, and also joining us is Jason Hunt, who has been with us before. So this is his second time on the show, and he is from the Wampa's Lair podcast, but he's also started another podcast that is somewhat relevant to this show. So, Jason, welcome first.
Thank you very much.
And could you just tell us a little bit about your new Doctor Who podcast?
Yes, my new Doctor Who podcast is called Talking Time Lords, and it's a discussion and review type podcast. So kind of similar to this, but we've started with a couple of discussion episodes, who's our favorite doctors, our favorite companions, that sort of thing. And if you ever want to listen to a couple of episodes down the road where we review episodes to supplement the incredible reviews that you get here on Bad Wolf Radio, you might want to check us out sometime, you know.
Who do you do the show with?
I do the show with a co-host. His name is Paul Gann, not Paul McGann, just Paul Gann.
Well, that would be cool if you had Paul McGann. I think then you would surpass our podcast pretty quickly.
My heart would be just really cool there for a second.
It would be really cool, but sadly that is not the case. And he actually listens to my other podcast, my Star Wars podcast, which is how I found him. So that was kind of interesting.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to listening to it. I think you said you've posted two episodes and you have a third one that you're editing.
Yes, that is correct, and that should be up by the end of the week. So, all right. Or probably before this episode gets posted.
Cool. We will put a link in our show notes as we post it over there on Shot Glass Digital. And we will make sure we put the right link. We're okay with you having some of our listeners.
Thank you.
So welcome,
Kate. We share listeners.
Yeah, definitely. Cross-promotion is the greatest thing. You better have us on your show, though.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
So me and Adam, not at the same time. We don't like each other that much.
No, this is all I can take.
So true. All right. So news, Adam. What do we have in the docket?
I'm surprised. Like, I felt like this time between series last year, there was a lot more being leaked about the episodes that were coming up, maybe some storylines. I felt like we had a lot more about the upcoming series. But right now, it's not that the well has run dry as far as leaks and rumors and news. It's just, it's not all that surprising. It's return of characters, which we talked about our last episode, and some directors, some writers. There's going to be two-parters, but really there's nothing of substance that feels like it needs to be talked about pertaining to the next series. That being said, there's all sorts of other stuff that's going on in Doctor Who fandom. The community is growing. The fandom is growing. And as a result, we're seeing a lot more Doctor Who stuff show up all over the place. So the first thing we talked about, the potential for Doctor Who Lego sets, but what about a Doctor Who game? How does that sit with you?
No, I've played like some of the Lego video games, Star Wars, Lego, and I think the Harry Potter one I played on my iPad for a while. So those games are always fun. Are you telling me that Doctor Who is getting a Lego video game?
Yeah, so, well, it's going to be included in a Lego video game. Lego is branching out and really taking the Skylander approach that has become very popular over the past year or two and branching out with their own Lego Dimensions. And it just so happens, along with some other pretty cool franchises that are getting tossed into the mix, the Good Doctor is going to be making an appearance as well.
Ah, I did see this. So that's kind of like the Disney Infinity kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, right along those lines. Lego is branching out more and more with the games that they're starting to put out.
So, Kay, have you ever played a game like this? Have you ever played Disney Infinity or Skylanders?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Jason?
I have not, but I have seriously considered getting Disney Infinity, especially now that the new Star Wars one has been announced.
Yes. So, yeah, that's actually what's gotten me interested in possibly picking up Disney Infinity.
But as soon as I heard that Lego was going to be making a Doctor Who set, my first response was, I can't wait for the Doctor Who Lego video game. honestly, that was my first response. So
this might be a step in the right direction because, I mean, this is kind of, they have these, I guess you can buy the figures, and then the way that this type of game works is they have some sort of a, I've never really played them, so I'm not an expert on it, but they have some sort of a disc or something you can buy, and you put the character on it, and then it kind of imports them into the game, and you can play as that character.
I saw that in the trailer. That would look pretty cool.
Did they have the Doctor Who stuff in the trailer?
That's what I wanted to ask you guys. I only watched it once real quick, and I didn't see any Doctor Who stuff in there, but there was a lot of stuff being thrown in at the end.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm looking at the pictures of like some of the different sets that are going to be released for it, and the Doctor Who one looks like it has the 12th Doctor, the TARDIS, and K-9 as playable figures.
Yeah, what I thought was funny is that some of the reports, some of the headlines that are going out are basically like, you can recognize the 12th Doctor's eyebrows, even in Lego form, because it just has his scowling face in all the screenshots. they did a really good job, but he's more the slicked back 12th Doctor, not the new hippie 12th Doctor that we might be seeing in the new series.
So is this the first official look that we're getting of what the Doctor is going to look like as Lego? Like, we haven't seen any preview images of the 12th or other Doctors as Lego yet, have we?
I feel like everything that we've seen up to this point has really been mock-ups. Okay. So, like, this could potentially be happening. I feel like this is the first official, this is happening, this is what it's going to look like, at least for the 12th Doctor, K-9, and the TARDIS. And truth be told, it looks very similar to what I thought were mock-ups leading up to this.
Well, it looks pretty good. The Doctor looks pretty good. His sonic screwdriver is a little odd looking, but it almost looks like a wizard's wand.
Yeah, it makes sense, right?
No. Lego.
It doesn't make sense because it doesn't look like a sonic screwdriver.
But he's a magician. It's foreshadowing. We have the Magician's Apprentice coming up.
True, true. So, well, are you guys, like something like this, is it make you interested in actually going out and getting this game? Or is it kind of like, well, maybe I'll play it if my friend has it?
More the second one.
More that.
Yeah.
I need to take a better look at Lego Dimensions as what the heck it is. Because I've sort of been on my periphery, but I haven't actually looked to see what's going on with it. So I'll have to take a better look. I may just want to wait, though, for an actual just Doctor Who Lego game, just straight up.
Yeah, I would be more interested in it if it was only Doctor Who.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think, I mean, it's interesting to see the 12th thrown in there, and it's really cool. It gives hope for what's coming down the road, but it's not enough to make me go out and invest in that particular game.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page. I don't think I'll buy this game, but I hope to try it out. So hopefully a friend of mine will buy it, and I'll just play it at their house.
nice.
So the next news item we have here is San Diego Comic-Con. Doctor Who is returning to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And you say that like you've been there.
Sorry.
Are you going this year?
No, I'm just overly excited. I just like seeing Doctor Who like show up anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah, so he's going back to San Diego Comic-Con. I guess 2014 they had kind of sat out San Diego Comic-Con. There wasn't a big Doctor Who panel. But in 2015, there is going to be again. And so Peter Capaldi's actually going to be there. Jenna Coleman, Michelle Gomez, and Stephen Moffat. So yeah, so it sounds like they're going to have a really good panel. And funny story. What'd you say?
Hall H.
Hall H, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like the one where you go to get stabbed by pencils.
Yes. And camp out overnight for one panel.
So, Kay, have you ever been to San Diego Comic-Con?
I haven't, but I have reported on it from my couch.
Ah.
Yeah, we did a thing. We did a thing one year on Fangirl Blog that was called Not at San Diego Comic-Con.
That's the best way to cover San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, we covered a lot of the Nerd HQ panels because those were live streaming. So that was easy to report on. But then I'd also throw in reports like, there's no wait for the bathroom in my house.
There's a one-person line.
Yeah.
So yeah, San Diego Comic-Con is one of those cons that you always hear about. But for me personally, I've never actually been that interested in going to it. For one thing, I'm on the opposite side of the country, so it wouldn't be very cheap to get out there, but I just, the whole idea of, you know, having to try to get your tickets online and they sell out so fast and like, you know, that whole rush.
It's a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm just not into that. And then the hotel rooms are all sold out in like minutes. And then once you get there, it's all about waiting in lines and, you know, gigantic crowds. And it's just like, you know what? I think I'll stick to the smaller cons, not like the tiny ones, but like New York Comic Con even is kind of more appealing to me than something like San Diego. But I don't know how you guys feel. Would you guys try to go out if you could?
No. No.
If someone arranged everything for me, then I might. But still, I can't imagine like devoting my whole day to waiting in line and then just seeing one panel. And then, yeah, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, no, San Diego Comic-Con is too big for me. I went to Phoenix Comic-Con, which was 75,000 people this year. But that's big enough for me right now. San Diego, which sells out in, you know, 10 minutes. Unless I was going as some sort of a guest or a panelist or something. I don't want to fight everybody for that.
It'd probably be a good one to try to get to like once in your life, you know, just to kind of experience it. But
yeah.
And I think that's what I would do. Just the experience. I would probably never make it out there. And I'm not too keen on crowds. Aaron knows that just from Philadelphia Comic Con, I kind of froze up there for a little bit. But
and he's never been back.
And I've never recovered. there's something about like saying that I've been to San Diego Comic Con, same thing with E3, like to be able to say I made it, I got in the door, just the experience of it. But it probably will be a long time in the future.
So today on Twitter, Kay actually tweeted at us, and she was like, hey, I hope you guys are having, you know, your 5 minutes of Danny Pink tonight, because, you know, there's a reason to have one. And I was like, enlighten us. And she was like, well, Danny Pink's going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. So I'm like, oh, cool. You know, come on the show. Let's talk about it. So, Kay, can you tell us all about Samuel Anderson's appearance at San Diego Comic-Con?
He's not going to be there.
You lied to us.
Happens, I didn't Well, I didn't know I was lying to you when I when I did it. This is what happens when you consume too much media in one day. And I swear I saw his name somewhere in San Diego Comic-Con. And then later when I looked after you guys invited me on, I couldn't find it anywhere. But he was at another Comic-Con in Cardiff, which, you know, is important to Doctor Who, recently. And he talked about wanting to be able to come back to the show somehow. And the option came up, like, you know, what if the Doctor went back in time and somehow made sure Danny didn't kick the bucket? And his other thing he said was, let me find the quote. Oh, he said, if Stephen Moffat doesn't write the Doctor going back in time and changing it, I'm hoping Orson might end up going back in time. You never know in Doctor Who. So that, you know, Orson was one of his distant relatives in the future that they met in one episode. But my feeling is if Danny's dead, then Orson probably doesn't exist.
Yeah, I always wondered about that, about Orson. Because, yeah, if Danny's dead, because we always just assumed that Orson was a descendant of Danny and Clara, right? That was kind of what
that's
was
what
implied.
It seemed like, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I always kind of wondered, like, well, if Danny died, then Orson shouldn't have ever existed, so they shouldn't have been able to meet Orson. So, yeah, that was kind of a bit of a paradox. But I guess, you know, it's wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey, so.
Yeah, the thing is, at the time that they met Orson, Danny was still alive, so
yeah,
history can be rewritten or something.
But they met him in the future.
Danny
was dead in the future.
Not yet.
So there's just a really practical explanation for it. Everybody thought Danny Pink was really a player, and maybe he was. And Orson has nothing to do with Clara. We've been looking at Danny Pink all wrong this entire time.
He wasn't sitting at home alone while she was traveling with the Doctor.
Yeah, it's all going to come out. Series 9, I'm telling you.
Clara's going to be an episode where Clara's going through his stuff, and it's like, what is all this?
Who is Sarah?
He was too good. He was too good.
He was. We knew it. Those nice guys always have their dark secrets.
Danny, I'm so disappointed with you now.
Great. I finally get to come on 5 minutes to Danny Pink, and I ruin Danny Pink for Adam.
I looked up to him so much, and now I just he was just dirty.
See, one of my theories was that they were going to figure out a way to resurrect Danny, and that was how Clara was going to leave the TARDIS. And I hope it happens, because I like Clara, but I think she's done.
Did you like Danny Pink?
I would have liked him a lot more if he had gone on the TARDIS.
He was an actual companion.
Yes.
Yeah, I've always thought...
I would have liked him if he was totally different.
I would have liked him if he was actually a companion, yes. And not just like that guy. That guy over there. That guy over there that Clara's sort of kind of attached to. But not really.
I mean, that's a good point. Like, they have the giant Time Lord hard drive that everybody's consciousness is uploaded to. Well, I guess not everybody's, right? Because some were Cybermen that got blown up. But there's probably still a lot of people in there. Maybe Danny could get rescued.
And then there's robot Danny. Like an android Danny.
He's the new K-9!
Oh, gosh.
You made Danny the tin dog.
And he's upset about being on the TARDIS the whole time.
Yes.
He doesn't want to be there.
Oh, Danny, are you having fun? Negative.
Oh, that was more than 5 minutes, guys. So, so they announced a really cool Doctor Who festival that isn't in America. It's in London.
Which makes it cooler and less cool.
Well, it's cooler because it's in a cooler place, but it's so far away.
Yeah.
You've been to London, right, Kay?
Yeah, I used to live there.
Yeah, cool. I have not been there. I would like to go there, and I'd like to go there for Star Wars Celebration.
Yes.
That's happening in London, so it gives me an excuse to get there. But now there's this cool festival there, too, so it's like, oh, maybe I can go there twice in 1 year.
Save all your money.
Yeah, just that's the only thing I'll spend money on. Don't feed my kids.
Super expensive.
Don't pay my house payment. But yeah, so that looks like a pretty cool event that they're doing out there. I don't think they've really announced any. I know they're saying there's going to be guests and things like that, but I don't think they've officially announced anybody. But I'm assuming they probably have better access to the actors than we do over here in the States.
Probably.
Maybe Samuel Anderson will be there.
But that's probably what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm announcing him now. I'm pre-announcing him.
So,
inside scoop.
So for our listeners in the UK, based on our statistics, we have at least 5 of them. Yeah, so this event's going on. You guys can go there. But I think it is in November, so there's a little bit of time if you want to try to save up and get over there.
Or just
still not
go
enough time
there.
For me to save up and get over there.
And then live there until Celebration.
Yeah, so I know this is off the topic of Doctor Who, but Kay, are you going to try to go to Star Wars Celebration in London?
Yes, if I can.
What about you, Jason?
I'm going to see how that works.
Okay.
I really would love to. It's a question of money, obviously. And I am a poor graduate who is working out how to move to California because that's where the work is that I want to be doing. And that's expensive too. So
So you would love to go, but maybe not likely that you'll make it.
Probably not, but I'm holding out a secret hope that maybe I'll invent a TARDIS and just be able to live on a street corner for Celebration. And you know,
oh, I have a TARDIS. If you need a TARDIS, we got one of those.
Wait, what?
Me and Adam built one over the summer.
Evidence. Yeah. Photo evidence after the recording.
Yeah. So, Pop Vinyls. We talked about Legos, and Pop Vinyls is another cool collectible. I personally love to collect them of a number of different franchises, but finally Doctor Who is going to be having Pop Vinyls from Funko, and I think they're already starting to show up at Hot Topic. Is that right, Adam?
They're already appearing at Hot Topic, and one of my favorites is the 10th Doctor with 3D glasses. Like, tell me that's not cool to get a 10th Doctor with 3D glasses on. But they have Hot Topic exclusives that are starting to show up. So a mini adipose, a normal Pop Vinyl size adipose, the 11th Doctor with a bow tie, and then the 10th Doctor with his 3D glasses. Looking pretty slick.
Oddly enough, I was actually at a Hot Topic today.
No, there's nothing odd about that.
And I did find some Doctor Who stuff, but I didn't find the larger size Pop Vinyls. I only saw the tiny keychain size ones.
Keychain ones are adorable.
Yeah, they are, except they have the metal keychain stuck in their head, and I don't like that.
Well, that's because you're supposed to put it with your keys.
Yeah, but I want it as a collectible thing on my desk.
Yeah, no, that's the portable Doctor that you take with you.
Yeah, well, they have the Doctor. I think I saw the 10th Doctor and Adipose were the two that I saw today at Hot Topic, but only in the keychain size.
I think the 11th Doctor's flippy hair is perfect for a Pop Vinyl.
Yeah. I will say, because we were kind of comparing them to the Titan vinyls that they've done, Adam.
Yeah.
And I have the Titan vinyl of the TARDIS. And okay. I haven't seen it in person, but I saw the picture of the Funko version of the TARDIS, and Funko did a way better job.
And its door opens.
Yeah, the door's open, the detail, there's a lot more detail. The only cool thing about the Titan version is it says Bad Wolf on the side of the TARDIS. But yeah, I think Funko outdid Titan.
Funko has that just locked up. Everything they do is just solid. That's whether it's the typical Pop Vinyls, or they have some other. I have many bobbleheads on my desk right now of Guardians of the Galaxy and just some other Marvel characters, and they just do such a great job with the detail and the characterization of each of the figures. It's just, I love them. Huge fan of them now. I didn't think I'd ever leave my love for, I don't even know what they're called anymore, but I lost my love for them.
What, the Titan vinyls?
No, the Mighty Mugs.
Oh, Mighty Mugs, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason, Kay, have you guys seen these? Do you guys collect Pop Vinyls? Any interest?
Nope.
I don't.
The Funko things are cute, but I just haven't gotten around to collecting them.
It's probably better off you stay away. It can get addicting.
It's rough.
I spend my money on too many other collectible items that I just can't. I just say no.
It's always money with you, Jason. Stingy, stingy.
Well, when you don't have much, you have to be careful.
I will say the 12th Doctor looks so much more friendly than he does in person for the Funko one.
You've met the 12th Doctor.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm it's making the more eyes. Stuff up.
You have a TARDIS too?
Maybe. I have a key to the TARDIS.
You have a key to the TARDIS?
Yeah.
Oh, is it like a replica?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Don't throw Which it in key? The lava. It messes stuff up.
I won't. Although I could probably just snap and be okay too.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait a second.
So, all right. So I think now we can move into kind of our spoiler section of the news. So we can throw in the River Song spoiler audio clip that I will put in post.
Spoilers.
And we can talk about what's coming up season 9, or at least rumors. I think there's been some official announcements and also some rumors. So, Adam, what's interesting?
Yeah, just two things that jumped out to me. There's some other rumors floating around out there, but two in particular that caught my eye. Because, again, we're talking about returning characters, not Danny Pink. Nothing coming up about Samuel Anderson jumping back on the TARDIS, although we would all love to see that, right?
We've had our 5 minutes, Adam.
Okay, moving on. But one name caught my eye, and I could not let it go. If I say the name Carol Ann Ford, what comes to mind?
Annoyance? Whininess?
Grandfather.
No. Grandfather?
Yes. The rumor has it that she showed up on set for the filming of the last Christmas special that was done. Interacted with Capaldi. Capaldi asked her if she would ever be interested in coming back. And of course, Susan replied, of course. So the story goes, Capaldi ran around talking to everybody on set at that point, saying that they need to get Susan back. So now the rumor mill is churning that at some point, Series 9, Series 10, what have you, Carol Ann Ford might be making a reappearance. Susan might be showing back up in one form or another. How does that sit with you?
So I know that Carol Ann Ford has come back to Doctor Who at least once. Jason, you might know more than I do if she's come back more than once.
It's just the once, as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
Well, on screen.
In that,
I'm sure she's done several of the Big Finish audio stuff.
Right, yeah, we're talking just canon stuff here. Is Big Finish considered canon? I've always wondered that.
I think it is, but I don't know enough to know that.
So, yeah, so Susan came back, I think, for like the Five Doctors special.
Yes.
So she did make an appearance. I didn't like Susan. I think I made that pretty clear in most of our reviews that she was involved in. So, but I will say that if they did bring her back now, you know, as, you know, the current actress at her age coming back, you know, as Susan, I'd be completely fine with it. I always like seeing characters come back. I didn't like her, you know, in the 60s when she was playing Susan, but I might like her now, you know. I'm sure the actress has matured.
I haven't seen the episode, but I've read about Susan. Wasn't the character left somewhere?
She was left on Earth in the 21st century. So there is a Time Lord, well, Time Lady, however you want to say that, left on Earth in the 21st century. So she's probably, you know, still around, I would assume. So
She is the granddaughter of the Doctor, allegedly. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's how she always referred to herself, and they referred to each other in that way. But I have heard, I don't know, I think it's kind of not necessarily completely accepted in fandom that she is a Time Lord, or that she is even really related to the Doctor. But yeah, I don't know.
The one question I have is that if she shows back up on screen with Capaldi, does she still call Capaldi grandfather?
Probably. especially since he's, you know, that age. And with those angry eyebrows, I think she would be a little uneasy about calling him anything else.
So Adam, what do you think? Would you want to see her come back?
Oh, I have no idea. I have such mixed feelings about this one. Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool to see her on screen again. There would definitely be some nostalgia, and by that I mean nostalgia to the episodes that I watched like a year ago. Not anything that I have like this grand history with, but it would be cool to see her show back up. That said, I would much rather see her in like a rocking chair with a blanket on her lap as he like walks by a front porch. I don't know if I want like grand interactions with the Doctor. I don't think I want to see her step foot on the TARDIS. Maybe just like a little hat tip and then move on from there.
That would be so disrespectful to that actress. We're just going to put you as an old lady in a rocking chair, just in the background, no lines.
You just wave and he waves back and continue about your lives.
Oh,
I haven't seen so you in however many years.
So this is pretty much just straight up complete conjecture. Like there's no solid evidence that she's coming back. It's just more kind of like wishful thinking maybe on Peter Capaldi's part.
Other than the fact that like there were a lot of articles that just picked up on this, which I find it super interesting that it took place back prior to Christmas, and now all of a sudden all these articles are picking up on it and running with it. I don't know if that discredits it or if it gives it more weight because of how long it took for it to come out. But yeah, supposedly Capaldi would really love to see her back for an episode or two.
Well, we have a couple other people who may be returning to Doctor Who or maybe want to return to Doctor Who. One who is a former companion and one who I hope never becomes a companion. But we'll start with River Song. So I didn't see this in the show notes until just now, so you must have added this last minute, Adam.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I feel like this keeps coming up. Is River Song going to come back? Is there some new news that I missed?
The only new news that came out, and I'm trying to weigh this in my mind, is it just Alex Kensington,
Kingston?
Kingston, sorry. pining for the spotlight, or is she... Does she have something that she's just holding really close and not letting everything out? But at a recent con, when asked the question whether she would return or not, she mentioned that all I can say is, and then spoilers. And then she went on to say, but what I will say is the sonic screwdriver that I had in the silence in the library, which had been given to me by the Doctor, is not the sonic screwdriver that has been seen yet. So does that mean that she's just assuming that at some point she'll be back to receive that sonic screwdriver? Or does she know something that's going on that she's already been contacted about and she's just not giving the whole story at this point? But yeah, just a few other things thrown in there. People were asked about her coming back and people said, oh yeah, we're definitely not done with her yet. It all comes down to what Stephen Moffat wants, right? She was created for his purposes. He's the one that carried the story forward. It really comes down to whether or not he wants her back.
So Alex Kingston is dropping cryptic hints.
She's dropping cryptic hints, yes.
Or messing with people.
Yeah.
Or totally messing with them.
She's starting some sort of grassroots campaign to get her back on the show.
You know. Look, I found a reason story-wise.
Yeah.
I actually think she'll be back. I think she's one of those characters that they're just going to keep bringing back from time to time. And she obviously wants to be back. So I think, I don't know if it'll be next season or whatever, but I think we'll see her back eventually.
Well, at the same time, her timeline is so crazy that any time you add her in, it just gets more complicated.
Which I think is something that's kind of cool about that character. I know a lot of people don't like River Song. I actually really like that character, and I kind of like how she kind of pops in here and there in his life. And I like the actress. So, I don't know. Are you guys fans of River Song, Jason Kay?
Yeah, for the most part. I'm a fan of her. I wouldn't mind seeing her come back. I always thought we were going to get her back anyways. But, you know, that could just be me.
What about you, Kay?
I like her voice.
Okay.
No, I really liked her in the beginning, and I liked the whole mystery idea behind it, you know, like, and her knowing things that the doctor didn't know and that frustrating him. But then there came a point where she just seemed to just dissolve into this obsessive person, and she was missing the point of what the doctor stood for, and I didn't like her so much after that.
But she loved him.
Yeah, or was crazy.
Love muddles things.
She loved the concept of the doctor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's, I guess, another one of those things. There's really no solid reason to think that she's coming back. It's just, you know, another rumor out there. But yeah, this next one, we actually have solid information. We know this is actually going to happen, but it is kind of a spoiler if people don't want to know characters that are coming back in season 9. So beware of the spoiler. But, yeah, one of our favorite characters from the episode Flatline, Rigsy, is coming back to Doctor Who. I know we had some opinions about that character when we reviewed that episode. Adam, what do you think? Are you happy about this?
It depends on how they use them. I have no idea. My jury is out on this one right now. I could see him showing back up. In that episode, he had moments where it's like, oh, I really like the guy. And then there were moments where it was just like, nope, let him drive that train himself and just be done with him. Like, I went back and forth. So it depends on how they use him. I'll just have to wait and see the episode. I'm not going to get too down on it just yet.
I'm curious to hear the thoughts of the other two people on the show, just because I've never talked to either of you about this character. Kay, were you a fan of that episode, Flatline, and that character, Rigsy?
It was an interesting episode. You know, his story-wise, he was basically serving the companion role to Clara. So he was the one asking all the questions and everything. And there wasn't a ton of character for him based, you know, beyond what they gave you at the beginning of who he was. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, total.
So I have no idea what they would do with him in this.
What about you, Jason?
Well, I liked the episode, but it's been a while since I watched it, so my recollection of Rigsy as a character, other than that kid that just followed Clara and the Doctor around, is a bit fuzzy, so...
no opinion.
I have no opinion on his character coming back one way or the other, so...
I think that might be an opinion in and of itself. Like, if this character hasn't made a grand impact on any of us... he really, like, at the end of the day, might be just a total forgettable character, like the other grumpy guy that was in that episode that we were all really wanting to see get taken by the Boneless. And he wasn't. He was ungrateful at the end, and he lived to be grumpy another day. I'm wondering if that is just a sign that maybe Rigsy shouldn't be coming back.
It seems like this doctor has had some interesting choices as far as who he's bringing along with him. You know, some of these characters that come on the show and are not necessarily fan favorites or kind of annoying characters, and then they end up showing back up. And I can't remember the name of the young girl that ended up being in the Dragon Egg episode.
Oh, what was her name?
The Kill the Moon stuff.
Courtney?
Yeah, yes, Courtney. You know, that was one character, you know, she was in a couple episodes before that, and I was like, man, this girl's really annoying, and then all of a sudden she's on the TARDIS, and I'm like, wait, why? Like, why did we pick this actress? You know, like, she just didn't seem like the type of person they typically would be bringing onto the TARDIS. And then now this guy, Rigsy, kind of the same thing for me, like, I just thought the guy wasn't a very good actor at all, and not a very likable character. And
it just wasn't much for him to do.
Yeah, and then now they're bringing him back. So maybe, I mean, who knows? That this could have been planned all along, and they, you know, that's the introduction to a character that they're going to develop further, and maybe he'll become a really great character that we all love. But right now, I'm just kind of like scratching my head as to the decision to bring this particular guy back.
Yeah. I think the bigger news with his reappearances, I believe it's the same episode he's appearing in, is being written by a woman.
Oh.
And she's the second woman they have writing this season, in season 9. Which is a big deal, because for a while they didn't have any women.
Yeah, Doctor Who's
depending
not.
on Doctor Who.
Yeah. Doctor Who's, or at least for the modern series, they haven't had as much influence from the women when it comes to the writing. I know in the classic series, or at least as far as direction goes, or showrunners, there was at least the one woman that ran stuff at the very beginning.
Yeah, Verity.
Yeah, Verity. Yep. So, but yeah, that's good that they're getting more women to write these episodes. Hopefully, it's a trend that will continue.
Sarah Dollard.
I did see, just kind of along those same lines, Doctor Who getting a lot of credit just over the past couple of weeks for even their casting of adding some more female supporting cast, and giving them a little bit more legs to go on as opposed to just a companion role. So Rebecca Front, which I guess she was in the show that Capaldi was in, I think it was called In the Thick of It. I guess she played alongside of Capaldi in one of his previous shows, and she was just announced as a character for a two-parter. And then with Maisie Williams showing back up, and then Michelle Gomez, and then with her name is slipping me now, the head of UNIT being back, as well as Osgood showing back up.
All of those characters are great. Like, that's, mm-hmm. you know, they those characters that they're bringing back have all been great characters, and I'm happy to see them all coming back.
Yeah, it's really cool just to see them rounding out the casting a little bit more.
Yeah. Is that pretty much it, Adam, as far as news and rumors and season 9 stuff?
Yeah, I say that we just about covered it. Anything and everything that is worth talking about at this point, other than the random, like, the 12th Doctor's best moments and why series 9 is just going to be so much better than every other series beforehand. I think we've covered just about everything.
All right, so let's move on to our classic reviews. We are going to be reviewing the storyline from, 10th story of Season 3. So we're still on the first Doctor here, and this is called The War Machines. Writer Ian Stewart Black and director Michael Ferguson. And so Jason has come on to talk about this. Kay, we kind of invited you at the last minute, so I know you didn't have a chance to watch these episodes before coming on, but you are more than welcome to stick around and talk about Classic Who with us if you would like to.
I can make more stuff up.
Okay, great.
Awesome.
Have you watched any of the Classic Who?
I have seen the 4th Doctor in Pyramids of Mars.
Okay.
Ooh, that's it. I like that one.
Cool.
I've been meaning to watch more, though.
So no First Doctor. You're not familiar.
I haven't seen anything of the First Doctor.
All right. So this is, we're kind of coming to the end of the First Doctor, at least for what we are going to watch, because we're watching just what's available on Hulu Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So the First Doctor, although I think there's another storyline after this one. Am I right, Jason?
There are two.
Two more storylines. But for what we're going to be able to watch, this is the final storyline for the First Doctor. So this will be our farewell to William Hartnell. William Hartnell is the Doctor, which is kind of sad. He kind of grew on me. I actually like his portrayal of the Doctor.
Yeah. No, you kind of got to give credit to the man who started it all. So,
Right. The original yes. Doctor.
And if we were going to go out on an episode that wanted to leave us a high note with how William Hartnell played the Doctor, I feel like this is a pretty good episode for us to go out on. There are a few moments where he was he was at the top of his game a few points in time throughout this story arc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had some big moments, some big Doctor, like I like to call it, because I know in the modern series we've kind of learned, because I think all of us started with the modern series, right? Jason, did you start with the modern series?
Everybody told me to, and then I went and watched the Aztecs on Netflix.
That's right. So, well, at least for me and Adam, I know, like, there is kind of that element of the modern Doctor is kind of our Doctor. And so when you go back and watch the classic Doctors, you're almost comparing the classic Doctor to the modern Doctor, which is kind of backwards, you know. So when I see William Hartnell do certain things, I'm like, oh, he's totally acting like Matt Smith right there. Or, you know, he's totally acting like David Tennant right there. So there was a couple of those moments in this episode that I'll point out as we go through. But before we get into the story, once again, we have missed a companion leaving the TARDIS, this time Steven. We've been watching him the last few storylines, and now as this storyline starts up, we actually had we missed the last story because it wasn't on Hulu Plus, so we didn't get to see him leave. So we get to see Dodo and the Doctor come out of the TARDIS and no Steven. So what'd you think, Adam? Were you sad that we... Of the two, I would have rather seen Dodo go.
Yeah, I would agree. It's kind of been weird the past couple story arcs that we've watched. It seems like each story arc we either gain someone or we lose someone. Well, I guess the OK Corral, the Wild West episode, we didn't really gain or lose anybody, but it just seemed different. And it seems like we've just watched them churn. So when Dodo got out of the TARDIS and Steven wasn't with her, it was just one of those moments of, oh, we missed something else. Something else I won't get to experience.
Yeah, so I went back, as I usually do, with the TARDIS data core and looked to see what happened to him. So apparently the storyline that we missed was called The Savages. And the Doctor and Dodo and Steven land on a planet where this, like, I don't know if I'm getting all the details right here, but there's like two separate groups of people. One of them is using the essence of the savages to stay alive, and then through the adventures of the Doctor and Dodo and Steven, they end up uniting the two peoples. And as the Doctor leaves, Steven stays behind to become the leader of this group of people. So he left the TARDIS to become the king of a planet. Sounds like.
When you step off the TARDIS, at least with the first Doctor, it seems like you get a pretty good gig. Like you end up royalty, or you end up, like, I don't know. Things go pretty well home for you. Yeah.
Home for the most part. He and Barbara ended up. It's like, you know, none of this tragic, you know, departures like we're getting with every single companion in the classic series or the new series.
Wait. We did have the one companion, right, Aaron, that we didn't see that got blown out the airlock?
Yeah.
Well, there was that one.
I don't remember.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have laughed about that.
Sadly, I don't even remember her name, but yes, she had the most courageous ending of a companion ever that was not seen on screen.
Oh, man. Blown out the airlock.
Blown out the airlock while saving somebody, I think. So
the Doctor, I believe.
Yeah, so good for her. Good on her. I don't know her name. Yeah.
Moment of silence.
Kay is just totally Greece. Lost right now.
She was from ancient Greece. That's all I remember.
Yes.
She knew how to operate an airlock?
I think it was just a lever. Details. She just pulled a lever.
She probably watched somebody operate it before.
She just started jamming her hand against the wall until something happened.
Now that you mention it, Kay, she might have not been that courageous. She probably had no idea what she was doing.
It was an accident, guys.
Don't hit that button. Yeah, so Steven's gone. Sad to see him go. I like Steven. Although his last episode I saw him in, the Gunfighters, wasn't his best showing. But overall, I did like him.
His ability to sing kind of ruined his character for me.
Or lack of ability to sing.
Yeah, he tried.
So something interesting about these episodes, they kind of changed up the title on us. They did the title in this like interesting typeface that looked like, you know, old computer typing, which were typically, at least from the episodes I've seen, it was always just, you know, the title would kind of fade in. But they got a little bit more creative on this one.
It probably wasn't old typing at the time.
Right. It was probably modern at the time. But it was very 60s retro.
Oh, wait, this was in 60s.
It has a retro now look.
But I don't know. Did that stick out to you guys, or did you even notice?
No, I noticed. It's one of those things where occasionally they like to mix things up with the title. If it's something very specific that they want to try and experiment with, it happens. It's not the first time it'll happen. So yeah.
No. I appreciate it. I thought it was a cool way. Like you said, it totally struck me as in like, wow, that's old school. But you're right. It was brand spanking new for them, and props for the guy that came up, or the individual that came up with it. But yeah, I appreciate it. It looked cool. It went along with the episode. The giant computer, it made sense.
So they end up back in London, and then the first thing that came to my mind was, are they going to go say hi to Ian and Barbara? But that didn't happen.
That would make too much sense.
Yeah, but as soon as they get there, the Doctor says he has this weird feeling, you know, the feeling that he only gets when he's around Daleks. And when he said that, I kind of, you know, being that the episodes are called War Machines and he gets this feeling that there's going to be Daleks. I kind of thought we were going to see Daleks again.
I had seen a picture of the War Machine before I watched the episode, so I had no aspiration, no ideas that there were going to be Daleks in here. I was like, nope.
Okay, so
it was interesting that he mentioned the Daleks, though, and Dodo was like, wait, who?
Yeah.
The what?
Hopefully you never have to meet them, I think is what he said.
They've totally left their impression on the Doctor by this point in his journeys, to the point where he's scared of them. He's afraid he's going to run into them again when he lands in London.
I think the first Doctor ran into them like 3 or 4 times, just in his, you know, 3-4 year run, whatever. So
they were definitely the main villain. They were the Lex Luthor of season 1, or of the first Doctor.
That's true.
So I was planning on kind of going through this in order of the story, but I don't feel like doing that anymore. I'm just going to jump around here a little bit, because we were talking about these. Because Jason, you had said that you had seen a picture of the War Machine, so you knew the Daleks weren't going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought that the War Machines were very derivative of the Daleks.
Oh yeah, I'm right there with you.
And yeah, I was kind of thinking, you know, whoever designed this was either purposely trying to make it look like the Daleks, or they just aren't very creative and just kind of copied the same design but bulked it up. It was like the Dalek in a Hulkbuster suit. That's basically what it looked like to me.
Money-saving technique.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Like, they probably just scavenged parts from the Daleks that were left over and were like, that would look good smacked on the front of it.
Yeah, it's, you know, they put a giant, you know, shell over their existing Dalek props, and that's how they moved them around. I don't know. I'm making things up.
Their storage case.
Right.
But yeah, no, it does definitely have Dalek-esque design elements to it. So,
I was actually thinking that they were possibly introducing us to the creation of the Daleks, and like that's where my mind went. That like this, you know, computer system was created, and then, you know, somehow this computer with its war machines was going to go off into space and then like travel through time and start the Dalek race. Like that's where my mind went with it. Just because it was so derivative, I thought, oh, maybe they're just trying to say that humans actually created Daleks. But nope.
I just looked them up. They look like angry post office boxes.
they do kind of have like eyes
with cool hammers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you have to make sure that
steam
you...
Steam guns,
yes. The guns were interesting. And I didn't know if the steam was just, like, the gun was shooting some invisible laser and the steam was just coming out, or the steam was actually what was killing the people.
I'm guessing they were going for the former, and it just sort of kind of came out as the latter.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Like, I wasn't sure if it was... what it was supposed to be, but I did know that if you got close enough, it killed you. If you were far enough away, it obstructed your vision. And if you were mid-range, it jammed your rifle. Other than that, I don't know what it was.
I just looked them up on the TARDIS Wikipedia thing, and it says they're box-like and incapable of advanced movement of any great speed, traveling slower than a walking pace.
Yep.
Yep, that pretty much describes
pretty much them.
Yep. Except for that one shot. There's that one shot in the last episode where they like fast forward it and it looks like it's speeding down the street.
Yeah.
And they're really easy to catch if you have 4 posts and some rope.
Electrical rope or something.
But they are horribly deadly if you're an entire military patrol.
Yeah.
Yes.
So much so that... So you bring that up, and I'll say one of the moments that I thought the Doctor was acting like what I expect the Doctor to act like is when the Doctor shows up and the War Machine is there and all the military guys are scared and they're hiding behind boxes, and the Doctor just walks right up to it. That was kind of one of those Matt Smith moments for me, because I could totally see the 11th Doctor just walking right up to a Dalek or right up to something that's killing everyone else and just not even worrying about his own life, you know, just with all that air of confidence.
That was definitely one of the first things I noticed when I watched this, was like, oh, that's like a total Doctor moment. And there's a lot of stuff in these episodes where it definitely, you can see the seed of things that become, you know, the Doctor or Doctor Who type story points. Because if this was a much more condensed and faster paced story, I could almost see something like this being a storyline nowadays, if it was faster paced and more explosions.
Yeah, so we can kind of jump back here a little bit just to give a little bit of basis to what this story is about. So, and it's kind of that typical story, human creates machine, machine becomes smarter than human and tries to wipe out the humans.
Yeah.
You know, Terminator, you know, we just saw it in Age of Ultron, you know, it's kind of that same story. So I guess they were telling these same kind of stories back in the 60s too. But this, you know, these people have created supercomputer, they call it Wotan.
Wotan.
Which made me think of wonton every time.
Oh, now I'm hungry.
It's like, now I'm hungry. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm going to order Chinese while I watch the rest of these episodes. But yeah, so the computer's name was Wotan, which I don't remember what that was an acronym for.
Oh, I have the wiki.
Anybody? Top of your head?
Okay. It is Will Operating Thought Analog. Although I don't think that was actually said in the episode. Maybe it was, but I don't remember it. But
yeah,
that's
so
what the wiki says.
I just thought it was kind of funny with the technology. Anytime you see the Doctor come up against technology in the classic series, it's kind of comical because you know the Doctor is from the future or has traveled to the future. So when he's looking at this supercomputer and he's amazed by what it can do, that it can, you know, calculate math and type it out on a typewriter and spit it out to him, it's almost laughable because you're like, this guy's been all the way to the end of the world and he's amazed by this computer that really doesn't do much more than my iPhone can do.
Yeah. And he really doesn't understand the TARDIS at this point, right? Like, he's so amazed by this computer and he has no idea that he's traveling in a sentient box.
Yeah.
Well, I always thought he was just more amazed at how advanced that computer was for the 60s on Earth. You know, I kind of got the idea that he knew kind of what he was dealing with, but was surprised at how advanced it was for that time and place.
I don't know. It totally blew his mind when it knew that what a TARDIS was.
Well, I mean, that would be surprising, yes. But just the whole, you know, the math part of that, as you were saying.
That it could figure out pi.
Yeah.
Or like, no, it was a square root of something.
Square root of something.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, I can do that on my phone. But Jason, you're really good at the in-universe explanations. We maybe need to have you on more often to ground us. But but yeah, I was laughing at that, just how amazed they were by this computer that couldn't even speak, you know, and had to communicate with them through a typewriter. But yeah, I thought it was kind of funny. But yeah, so they're talking about this computer is going to connect with all the other computers in the world, which there's only apparently 15 other computers in the entire world at this time, based on the chart.
But they're big.
They are big. So they're going to connect all the computers, which to me sounds like they were trying to create the internet. And
which did not exist in 1966.
Did not. So they were ahead of their time there. But yeah, but then the computer thought it was smarter than everybody and tried to take over. But it had some special powers that most computers don't have, like, you know, being able to hypnotize people.
And give headaches.
Yeah.
Powers that you aren't aware of. Yet. Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, do it over the phone, too. Yeah.
Yes. And it had the power to stop guns from firing, which was interesting.
Odd.
But overall, I mean, it was basically, you know, like I was saying, kind of that same story that, you know, we've seen a million times. But we did get introduced to some new characters in this episode. Who Dodo kind of took a back seat for the most part. She was there a lot in the first episode, but then she kind of disappeared for most of the rest of the series or the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she got hypnotized towards the start, and then Doctor snapped her out of it, and then she went off to the country for a holiday. Get some rest.
Such a shame.
But we meet our new, I guess, new companions. But at the time when we're first meeting them, we don't know they're going to be new companions. I actually didn't know that these characters were going to become companions. So when I first saw, and I don't remember her name now, Polly?
Polly?
Yes.
So when I first saw Polly, I didn't think much of her just thought she was another side character. But when I first saw Ben, I thought for sure he's going to become a companion. Like, as soon as they were talking about him, I was like, yep, that guy's going to be a companion.
And then it kind of solidified when they sent him on a suicide mission to go investigate the warehouse.
I kind of already knew that they were going to be companions when I watched this for the first time.
Yeah, I figured
you did. I've done a lot of reading about stuff before I started being able to watch this. So I was like, you know, companion lists kind of spoiled me on that.
Right. So. Yeah, I purposely tried to avoid looking at certain details just because I still want to be surprised as I watch these episodes. So I don't know most of the companions that are coming up, and I don't know, you know, how they end up with the Doctor or how they leave the Doctor for the most part.
I'm pretty cool with these two being companions. I have a feeling I could really like watching them in episodes. We'll definitely see.
Ben's a little intense.
He is, but it kind of, well, it balances the first Doctor out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but we're coming to the end of the first Doctor. Actually, interesting fact, this is the first, I think this is the only storyline where there isn't like a carryover from, or no, what did I read? Something where...
It's in the continuity. Here we go. This serial is the only time during the black and white era of the series when the crew of the TARDIS is completely replaced, with the Doctor being the only continuing character.
Ah, that's what I saw. So,
that's all it says.
Yeah, so Ben, to me, he's a much younger character than some of the companions that we've seen. You know, we had Ian and Barbara, who were kind of older characters. Steven was a little bit older. So we've never had like that young male companion before. Most of the young companions we've had have been female. So now it seems like the Doctor's kind of, his current companions now with Polly and Ben both of them are very young. They're in their 20s. We know that because the club that they were at was surprised that anyone was in the club that was not in their 20s. So we know they're both, you know, in their 20s. And then they're traveling with this elderly Doctor, at least for now. Interesting. It'll be an interesting dynamic. I mean, we're not going to get to see the next two adventures with them and him, at least not on Hulu. So we won't really see that dynamic. But I think they both carry over into the second Doctor?
For a time period, and I'm trying to remember if Hulu's got any episodes with them for the second Doctor, because second Doctor is where a lot of stuff goes missing.
So maybe this is the last we see of them.
Yeah, because we jumped from season 3 to season 5. So we missed two entire seasons, which I have a hard time thinking either Ben or Polly make it through.
Oh, we missed two entire seasons.
Yeah.
Wow. That's going to be frustrating.
Yeah.
Just make it up.
Yeah.
And then they go to a candy planet. And then Polly gets sick.
So then they're not in the next episode.
Yeah,
they actually they materialize in Candyland.
Yes.
So I thought Ben very much reminded me of the guy from Hunger Games.
Which one?
PETA.
Yeah, I guessed right.
He looks like PETA. Did you see a picture of Ben, Kay?
No, I haven't.
You should Google it and see if you agree with me. But I think he looks like PETA.
I can see that.
Like, if we need to have Ben ever come back into Doctor Who, they could just have the actor that plays PETA just play Ben.
I guess that by the way you were describing him.
Oh, wow.
So good describing him.
Young and intense?
Yeah.
Nice.
Some other characters that were in this episode, or at least one other character that kind of stuck out to me, was that guy that was always with the Doctor, and I don't remember his name, but I think the Doctor called him Sir something, so I think he was an important figure. But it was like, he was like that really proper English guy that was always kind of super calm about everything.
Well, he's unflappably British, so
yeah, you know. And he always
Sir Charles Summer.
Yes, Sir Charles, yes, this character. I really enjoyed that guy. He was that typical kind of Englishman, privileged Englishman that just didn't think anything could go wrong and just never thought anything was as serious as it really was. And I was highly entertained by that guy. I thought the actor portrayed him well.
Yeah, definitely.
He definitely was. Is it definitely a more of a genuine type of actor than some of the other people that come on and do the extra parts in some of these early episodes?
Yeah. Sometimes the casting isn't quite as good, but it's gotten better as the series is going on, for sure.
And I think this episode, or this story arc, was really helped by the fact that all the actors were in their native environment. They weren't forced to play aliens, monoids. They weren't forced to play cavemen. Like, they were forced to play themselves, essentially. And it, I think it went off pretty much without a hitch.
Yeah. Although, the actor who played Professor Brett, I don't know, sometimes he was a little over the top intense for me. I was like, calm it down just a bit.
Yeah, that one scene where he was trying to, when they were trying to catch the hobo that got into the warehouse and everybody was chasing him.
Oh, poor hobo.
Which was pretty comical. But yeah, that scene, specifically that actor, was definitely overacting. I think there was one part where he was like, destroy him! You know, and just... He was talking very calmly, and then all of a sudden he just screamed, and
right.
But that, yeah, the guy, the hobo guy, was funny. That character was, and I think he violently died by the hands of other men that were brainwashed, right?
That he did.
He I was very disappointed because I really liked the hobo, and I kind of hoped he was going to be sort of a through character throughout the episode.
But I thought. Nope. The same thing. I thought, oh wow, this guy, you know, he's in some really good makeup, you know, the costume, you know, they're going to really utilize this character. And it seemed like almost purposeful that they met him, you know, he coming out of the taxi cab, and they have the scene where he doesn't have the right amount of change, and I'm like, oh, they're really trying to like put this character center stage and establish this character. So yeah, I had the same thought as you, Jason, that he's going to be this character that's throughout the whole thing. He might have something to do with how they defeat these machines, and then he just dies, and you know, because he couldn't run fast enough.
He also gave like a little bit of like a backstory, like, oh, this place isn't as bad as where I have been. It's like, oh, I want to figure out where he has been.
Yeah, we'll never know.
Yeah, they just,
I think he referenced a prison, but
oh,
like,
did he
just got out, like he just got out or something like that. So
I think he said a hospital, because then he coughed afterwards. Right. Like he was that's still right. Sick, like, don't mess with a sick old guy.
That's right.
And they didn't care. They just chased him down and
killed him. It was sad.
So yeah, I mean, it was. What was your overall thought on this story, Aaron? So the Votan that brainwash people, build war machines, take over the world, and then the Doctor calmly dismantling everything. Overall, what we have seen of the first Doctor. Where would you put this in your mind? Was it a good watch? Was it down there towards the bottom? What would you say?
It was middle of the road for me. I thought the story was pretty boring throughout. There were moments that I really liked. I liked the Doctor, the way he kind of walked right up to the war machine confidently, reminded me of Matt Smith, like I said before. And then he does that once, and then later on in the episode when they capture the war machine, and he kind of he walks through the ropes. And, you know, everybody else is cowering in the back, and the Doctor just walks right up to it. And then the war machine lifts its hammer up like it's going to attack the Doctor, and the Doctor's like, temper, you know. And, like, when he says that, I'm just like, I can see Matt Smith doing that exact same thing. Yeah. Like, I could see him walking up to something dangerous. It goes to attack him, and he's like, temper, you know. It's just, that was kind of a very powerful moment for me, just to kind of see the Doctor, you know, act that way. It's just cool to see the Doctor be a little bit badass every once in a while. So yeah, that was cool. And then just the introduction of the new companions was a highlight. Like I said, I don't know if we're going to see more of them because of the missing episodes, but I saw potential in both of those characters, and they were so different than what we've seen before from companions that I was very interested to see where they go. So, you know, new companions was cool. The Doctor having a couple moments was really cool, but the overall story was pretty lackluster for me.
Where would you put this in your first Doctor, Jason?
I'm gonna have to agree a lot with Aaron. It's the story itself, the episodes itself is sort of eh, but there's a lot of good moments in there that because I get of two minds about this, because there's some moments where I'm like, oh, this is great, this is totally, you know, the Doctor. And as I said earlier, the overall story plot, if you condensed it down and, you know, made it faster paced and more explosions with better war machines, I could see it being done in the new series. And like Aaron was saying, the Doctor definitely had some great moments, and the new companions definitely worked very well. But it was, you know, brief bits in a rather drawn out kind of ho-hum story. The pacing of the episodes was just weird for me, because we didn't really get to see the war machines do much until towards the end of the third episode is when they started like going out and doing damage, and then it was all wrapped up so fast in the last episode.
So Adam, what do you think? How did you like it?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it towards the top of my experience with the First Doctor. Knowing that this was our last experience with the First Doctor, though, I think it kind of colored the way that I approached the episode. Totally agree that the pacing, it definitely had some slow spots. The story, at least in the day and age that we live in now, the story wasn't really all that unique. I'm sure it probably had a different look and feel to it when it was originally aired. But it wasn't anything unique now. But there were enough high spots in it that, thinking back on the episodes, I really did enjoy it. Yeah, it had the comical moments of, like you said, Jason, I think we saw the war machines practicing more than we actually saw them in action. Like, mm-hmm. we had the pace, or like 30 feet by 5 foot, and oh, yep, it worked. I just saw that guy die. But we didn't actually see them in action all that much. But there were some great moments with the Doctor where he seemed in control. Even the moment where he receives a phone call and Votan is trying to like take over his mind, and he's like, oh, there was something really big trying to integrate me. And like moments like that, it really did. I don't know. I think it was a great way for us to finish up with Hartnell. And we can say that we've watched everything we could that included the First Doctor. And I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah, we made it.
We made it.
We made it. And now we'll move on to the second. And then we only have like six more to go.
We only have like 40 more years.
Yeah. Join us on our journey through Doctor Who. So, Kay, what did you think?
It was a great episode, guys. Yeah.
I do want to throw this out there, because, Kay, you mentioned, like, looking at them, you thought they looked like a very angry postbox. Mm-hmm. Towards the bottom of it says, centuries in the future, historians of New Jupiter mistakenly believed that the war machines were designed by the General Post Office to deliver mail. Consequently, replicas of war machines were part of the 20th century section of Earthworld. But yeah, you're not alone in thinking that they were just very angry postboxes.
Okay, that's really funny, because I've read that book, and now that you've mentioned that, I do recall it. That is really funny. That was for the 50th anniversary. They released a book series of, you know, where they selected a book for each of the 11 Doctors, and that was the 8th Doctor's book. So,
cool.
I do remember that now.
Maybe someday, me and you, Jason, will start a Doctor Who book podcast.
We could do that.
Yeah, Doctor Who bookworms. No, wait. Cool. Well.
In space.
It was really awesome having you guys on. Thank you both for joining us. And we definitely want to have you both come back. Kay, we promise next time we'll give you a little bit more notice. And you don't have to lie to us about Danny Pink to get on our show.
Although it helps.
It did help.
It wasn't intentional. I just want to make that clear. It was an accidental lie. But, you know, it's true. I do want Danny Pink to have his 5 minutes.
He will... Well, as long as I have something to say about it, he will always have his 5 minutes on our show.
Then I feel better.
So
you know the way to one of our
the keeper of the flame.
So yeah, so it was awesome having you both on. Thank you so much. But for now, we will wrap this up. As usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes. If you enjoy our show, we'd love for you to head over to iTunes, leave us a nice 5-star review. It'll help other people find our podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast. We're on Facebook, Bad Wolf Radio. Just search for us, and we are the one with the black and white logo. You can send us feedback, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. If you send us an email, most likely we'll read it on the show. And until next time,
later days.